Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and being late, this is the 13th or 12th of December, excuse me, 2011, and this is the AR Q&A call. So here's the first question. I'm struggling with balancing the role of moving forward in my healing while being an emotional caretaker for my spouse. I'm not juggling both roles well. When I communicate my needs, triggers, feelings with him, it creates uncomfortable, painful feelings for him. We seem to have lost our old pattern of sharing his frustrations. I stopped moving forward because there is a block of processing on my end when we stop or argue because he becomes frustrated, to put it diplomatically. He needs a safe marriage, supportive, go-to person. He continues to keep his information tightly guarded, secret, which means he cannot be up with friends of where he is in life at the moment. I feel he struggles with his balance on finding good influences who will keep him in check while still being able to face the world and not feel embarrassed or ashamed. So here we are. My spouse needs someone who he can trust. The last thing I need is for him to confide. With someone untrustworthy and get himself back in the same situation of devaluing our relationship. Help. You know, that's a very difficult situation, and I think that probably the most difficult person in our recovery, I guess, who could give me feedback, or the one I had the most trouble receiving feedback from, would have been Stephanie. But I did need places where I felt accepted and secure. So one of the things I would suggest, and I just think, you know, I've said this before on the call, but that is what you're describing here is exactly why the hope for healing was actually created, because it created a safe, anonymous group for people who had been unfaithful to be able to begin to meet, communicate, talk, to grow, to shift their focus, to see things from a new perspective. We all need safe people to talk to. And the problem is, it's almost impossible for you as his wife to serve the role of someone who can be supportive and caring and nurturing, and at the same time for him to be in the place of listening to your pain and helping you process through what you need. Those roles are so mutually exclusive. And the best place to go, I mean, and it's his responsibility, I believe, to do this, but he can either do something like Hope for Healing, or he needs to go to Celebrate Recovery, or he needs to go to SAA, or he needs to get in a guys group that's very authentic and who really talk about these things. It's going to be difficult just to get friends together to do this unless they're all dealing with the same issue. That's why having a homogeneous group where you can go to a Celebrate Recovery and suddenly be with others who are like you, and where he can process and get support and maybe gain perspective without getting frustrated with you because you have trouble in that role. So I would recommend to him, at least, that he could also maybe do individual therapy. That would be the other thing that comes to mind that might be a possibility. So hopefully, you know, he probably needs to be the one writing this particular question, but I do hope he'll sit there someday and explore those things. Second question of the day. My wife and I have been considering a separation agreement that you emailed to us. My wife is not interested in a separation agreement. In fact, she gave me an ultimatum that she will divorce me if I attempt to execute the agreement you sent. I don't want a divorce, but I do insist that the unhealthy pattern stop. I'm not sure what to do. If a spouse is unwilling to address conduct that has been deemed unhealthy by our staff, by your staff, and will separate and is threatening divorce, if I separate, what is your advice? So I think there end up, you know, how you create a safe environment and both come to the place where you can agree on things is very difficult. Sounds like there need to be some more conversations of how to make that happen. And Because if you're still stuck with unhealthy patterns, and I just want to say, since we're at Christmas time, unhealthy patterns are even worse, then you really want to do something before things get too far out of control. And you both need to agree what needs to happen. See if you can agree on what are the alternatives. And hopefully nobody will dig in and be at a place for what we would call gridlock. But begin to ask, you know, what are maybe her ideas of what needs to happen if the separation isn't the thing that ultimately she would feel would be helpful. So thank you for writing in. I appreciate that. It's a great question. Next question. My husband and I are continuing to work through a lot of aspects of his affair, but the biggest stumbling block for us remains in the bedroom. I am having a very tough time once he initiates intimacy. I have flashbacks, mental pictures, and all the terrible thoughts of their physical relationship flash in my head whenever we try to be intimate. I do not want to feel this way, and I want to be physical with him, but the immediate rush of all the pictures, thoughts, and feelings caused me either to break down and start crying or roll over and not want him to be near me or even touch me. His affair partner is what really bothers me the most. I really don't think about him. It's all the comparisons of her versus me and what she did with him and what she looks like and how she felt to him. We are both having a hard time figuring out what to do to work through this. This is difficult for me to grasp, also because of the lack of our physical intimacy was once the cause of his affair. And now it's even worse, so I fear him not being satisfied could cause him to want to find it elsewhere again. Thank you for your help. One of the questions I would have as I just read this, I guess what flashes through my head first is, again, how long ago was discovery, because there is certainly a point in recovery for oftentimes as much as the first year where those flashbacks and intrusive thoughts in the bedroom can be a huge problem. One of the first suggestions I make to couples is begin to find a new way to talk about things together. You may not necessarily start with making love. Before on this call, I've answered questions. I've recommended couples do things like Pinner and Pinner's book, Restoring the Pleasure, and go through all 26 exercises and begin to kind of establish something that's so different than what you once did that it's not about a comparison. The second thing that for you as a woman, if you're having those intrusive thoughts, you need to be having eyes-open sex. What you'll find is if you're looking directly into his eyes when you're with him all the time, you're going to find that you're much calmer and you're not going to flood as much emotionally. The eyes are the window to the soul. They connect our hearts and our souls together. Where those intrusive thoughts typically come in is when you leave the moment and you begin to spectator, you're kind of trying. It's almost like you're trying too hard to do something. The real trick is, can you just be present? The second thing is, if intrusive thoughts come, try not to get upset about them. I know that sounds weird, but just kind of let them. In the Bible it says, and it came to pass. What you want to do is let those thoughts come so that those thoughts can pass. Just let them come in, say, oh, well, I thought that wasn't that much fun. Okay, next thought. And just instead of kind of judging it and thinking it's bad, just sit there and say, well, that's interesting. A third thing you can do that I think is helpful is if you can do some individual work with someone, they may be able to help you reframe some of those thoughts. The comparison questions, when we begin to compare ourselves against an affair partner, I think, are probably the most damaging and the most hurtful types of thoughts that occur. They just create such a sense of inadequacy, and it causes us to want to take personal responsibility for what our mate did. And I can tell you, there aren't, you know, bad marriages don't cause affairs, bad choices do. And it's not even an apples and apples thing. When you make love with your husband, I promise you, you are displaying far more love to him than his AP ever did. Because you're loving him not when he's, you know, everything, but when he's still a disappointment. I mean, you're loving him, it's, you know, truly unconditional as he is. The AP was only there because of how it made her feel about her. You're there because you just care about him. Vast difference. And so understand that y'all aren't the same and your motivations are not the same. Also, if you've done EMS or anything like that, the aftercare program for beyond EMS actually has a whole section on sexuality. And if you watch those sections on sexuality, I think that may also help you. Last but not least, I guess maybe reading some books could be really helpful. Sheet Music by Lehman is a great book. Something like that can be a great read for you. And if you and your husband will read something together, even, it's not even with exercises, even that could be helpful as you begin to reframe and talk about it and discuss it and come up with new ways of understanding it. It's almost like growing your concept of what our lovemaking is going to be about. Those actions will also help with those intrusive thoughts because it becomes something new. It becomes something different. You're creating something. So you might want to start with that pinner and pinner thing and eyes open, though, as I go through this long ramble here on the answer. And hopefully that will give you some good ideas. Let's see, the next question. Let's see, what can I do to help my wife get rid of the visions of me and my affair partner? This may be the same couple. They haunt and torment her enough to drive her to drink, and she doesn't even drink. Yeah, and it could be, you know, somebody totally different, because, I mean, so many couples struggle with this one. So I probably will just copy and paste the answer I just gave on the previous question, but I'll just say, ultimately, eyes open sex and creating something new between the two of you and doing something like Pinner and Pinner's book would be a good choice for that. But I'll also just paste the answer on this one if you go back and listen to it later. See, next question. My husband has not contacted me about Christmas plans, nor did we spend Thanksgiving together for the first time in 21 years. I received an email from my stepson about Christmas gifts. My husband usually gives me a list for him and his wife. How do I respond? I know my husband told him to contact me. We've always given gifts together, even when we were separated before this time. The kids have witnessed my husband's lack before and accommodate him. He has told our son how much he loves me and was committed to making the marriage work. I am very surprised they even contacted me since I've been so mistreated by my husband's abandonment and his avoidance of engagement to actually solve our problems. I don't feel like giving presents this year, and will give love notes and baked goods instead. I'm also running out of money with all the therapy costs, no insurance. My husband said I would have to wait for more money when he gets some. I've been looking for a job and going to college full time. I've been out of the marketplace for 20 years. I need a Christmas miracle and keep praying for God's love to heal me, my husband and my marriage. You know, I think what you're suggesting in terms of a plan to give love notes and to give baked goods is a great idea. I mean, I think one of the things I've been thinking about is Christmas isn't my birthday. And just kind of that whole thought is, I think, a good thought. Ultimately, I want to be able to point people to the reason for the season. It's about a time of blessings. And I think that some of the most significant Christmases that I can remember didn't come because someone had a lot of money or spent a great deal of money on gifts, but it was just because somebody wrote something or said something, or there was a moment where you just knew that another person genuinely cared. So I applaud you just in your thoughts of taking that direction. And I will be also praying with you for a Christmas miracle. I do want to say one other thing. You said here that I'm very surprised they even contacted me since I've been so mistreated by my husband. You know, one thing that maybe you would respond to is say, you know, financially, we're not at the point of being able to do anything. However, maybe the reason they're contacting you too is even though you're separated from your mate, maybe they really still appreciate the relationship with you and want the relationship. Maybe it's not the gifts. Maybe it's just the fact that they're saying to you, we'd still like some semblance of what we once had, if possible. And, you know, my suggestion would be, if they're interested in that sort of thing, there are lots and lots of ways, very inexpensive ways, I think, of still maintaining traditions without spending a gazillion dollars on presents. Now, if they're just doing it because they want presents, then I don't know. That would seem strange to me. But, I mean, I don't know them or anything like that. But at least recognize that even if it's the other side of the family, they may still care a great deal after 21 years. You may be a really integral part. And finding a way to maintain those relationships, you know, might be something that brings strength and hope to you. So with all of that, I want to thank everybody for joining the call. And I hope everybody has a good week, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you.